All right. As you finish up your conversations, make your way back, grab your coffee, finish your hug. Hopefully you got to meet somebody new, or maybe not, maybe just somebody hadn't seen in a little while. Got to welcome them. I just wanted to introduce our guest speaker today, Rich and Kristen Guzman. Longtime friends. We met them first when we were on staff at Valley Christian Center Foursquare in Albany, and Rich came on at staff at Valley Christian Center as our youth pastor. And I think 2 months after I met him, he went to Guatemala with me. And you talk about a bonding moment. You want to get to know somebody like you never wanted to know them. Go on a mission trip with them. And we went on a mission trip. It was amazing. It was brand new, and that relationship just really bonded us in the love of the Lord and in ministry. And so we've just had a relationship. There's something, there is a pastor's club. You know, and the same if you've ever gone through a difficulty, when you find somebody else has gone through that difficulty, or if you're from another country and you find somebody else from that country that you're from, you just like immediately have a bonding. And so we have a bonding because we've cried for people. We've been through difficult situations individually and together. And so there's a bonding that happens. But we love is Rich and Christian. I'm going to confess what they told us, and maybe some of you know, but they've chosen to commit themselves here at Living at Foursquare. And they are going to be coming here regularly. They've been involved in a church in different positions, just serving a church in Albany, and have decided to say, you know what, God called us to come and help small churches. And we got a relationship with you guys, and we want to invest here. And so we're super excited, Jackie and I, because we are friends first, and then we've done ministry together. But with that, Rich is going to preach this morning, and I gave him the option. Do you want to do part of the series, Living by Faith, or do you want to, do God laid something on your mouth? He said, no, he says, God laid on something on my heart, but it's right up the alley of what you've been preaching on. So will you guys just welcome Rich as he comes and brings the word.
All right. Thanks, brother. Wow. See, now I don't have to introduce myself, so that's pretty awesome. Well, good morning. How are you guys doing today? Good. All right. You guys are awake. That is fantastic. So before I start, I was going to talk about myself, because who doesn't like to talk about themselves, right? But it's not about me. So thank you for the introduction. But it is Veterans Day, right? So I know I'm going to put you guys on the spot. If you guys could stand up if you served in the military, that'd be fantastic. All right, come on. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. There we go. Thank you very much for your service. Thank you very much for serving our country. And these are the men and women that we get to support now, in the past, just as them being veterans, but also the ones that are in our military now and in the future. I know there's a couple of students in high school or whatnot that are looking at checking out the military and maybe going that way. And I always tell them, you can't go wrong, but choose the Air Force, you know, because that's the, yes, good job, yeah. So I was in the Air Force and I loved it. And amen, because they fed us good. We got to go on good trips. And the cool thing about the Air Force too is I was enlisted, and we're the only service that sends out our officers to go fight, right? So it was like, hey, get on the plane and go fight. We'll stay behind. So that's why I loved it. So it's fantastic to be here. And to also, like Pastor Scott said, to continue in this series that we're in, Living by Faith. He's already spoken on finances, marriage, hearing the word of God, and I was, oh, that's kind of like what I'm speaking on, but not really. Finances, marriages, and I know I'm forgetting, identity, that was last week. And a great job he's been doing. You guys been enjoying it? Amen. So hopefully I could continue that, and as I share what God put on my heart. So before we start there, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll dig right into it. Lord Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank you for this day that you have made. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for just being here. I know that you got the right people here to hear this word, to listen to it, to apply it. But I pray, Father, that you just work through me, work through my words, work through my mind. I pray that I present it well, that the people be able to take it in, that your word would fall on good soil. So I thank you and I praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So one of the topics I wanted to talk, the topic I wanted to talk about today was discerning God's voice, right? And it's, oh, right. So if I say right, throw something at me because I haven't spoken in a long time and I'll probably say that a lot. So just throw something at me, like a piece of paper, an egg, whatever that may be, or a book. That probably works too. But yeah, money. Definitely money right here. No. But discerning God's voice, that's one of the hardest thing in our Christian walk to do sometimes. It's like we walk and we're praying to God, going, God, show me what to do. God, show me what I need to, where I need to go. Tell me what I need to say. And sometimes it feels like we can't connect with God. It feels like it's a struggle. Have you guys ever been there? I know I have many a times. And I like this quote that Priscilla Schreier said. She said, discerning the voice of God is a divine mystery because it is a supernatural work the Holy Spirit does in us. It's a mystery. God's speaking to us, should it be a mystery? It's only a mystery if we don't spend time with God. It's only a mystery if we don't submit ourselves to God. It's only a mystery if we don't believe in who he is, if we don't believe in his divine character. That's where the mystery comes, because they can't hear it. But I tell you what, for those of us who spend time in the word, we're going to hear him. I like how she said it at the end. It's a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, discerning it. The word discern in the Greek is anakrino. Anakrino. No, that's more Italian. Okay, so anakrino. Anakrino, right? And I'll write again. Throw it at me. Come on. Throw it at me. So anakrino is, in Greek, it means to distinguish, to separate by diligent search, to examine. To distinguish, to search diligently, to examine. Think about that. Hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit is not a formula. It's not follow these three steps. It's not read this book. It's not this is how you're going to do it so that we can hear the voice of God. But it's spending time in his presence. It's about giving of yourself. It's about submitting your time and to spending time with him. It's kind of like a relationship. You don't get to know somebody just by hanging out with them once a week. It would be very superficial. But if you really want to get to know a person, like Pastor Scott said, go on a missions trip. Eat together. Play together. Work hard together. Sweat together. Preach together. Do kids ministry. See, when we do that, we get to know that person intimately. We get to examine their fruit of how they're living. We get to see how they're carrying themselves. We get to see how God's working in their lives. And the same thing is for us as we examine, as we search, as we try to distinguish the voice of God. That's what it means. And the time we spend with God, the time we submit to him and we allow that time together is when we start growing in our faith. That's our walking by faith. But sometimes it's really frustrating because there's so much stuff going around us. There's so many talking heads in our lives. There's media, there's apps, social media, there's news, there's this and that. There's politics, there's people at work, there's people at school. And they just get bombarded with all these messages that sometimes it distracts us. But you know what? What I found out is that God's always speaking to us. He's always speaking to me. But this is what I realized, is because of my busyness, because of what I'm doing, because of my unfaithfulness of spending time with God sometimes, I miss him speaking to me. I realize that I allow all these other noises around me to take hold of what I'm doing or what I'm trying to hear from God, that I choose sometimes is to listen to all those other things. So when I'm going through my struggles, when I'm trying to figure something out, I'm going to my TV or my news feeds or whatever instead of going to the Word of God. Amen? So I'm just being real. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we get distracted, and that's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to distract us from the Word and say, you know what? You don't need to read that. Here, do this instead. You don't need to listen to that. Listen to me instead. I'll tell you the truth of the world. But we know that's a lie, right? If you've been living to the, or if you're listening to the series at all, you know what Pastor Scott's been talking about. Spending time, living by faith, trusting in him, being in obedience. So sometimes I choose not to listen to God. Are you guys still with me? Are you upset at me yet? All right, because we're going to get a little bit deeper, so who cares? Okay, so we're going to turn to Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and some of you guys already know the story is about the temptation of Jesus, and we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to go through 11. So if you want to take out your Bibles, if you want to take out your electric devices, if you want to look up on the screen. Oh, not there. Because I want you guys to read your word. Okay, so there it is. There's the other one. Okay, you guys are going to go, I don't like this guy. Scott gives me the scriptures. I don't have to do this. Sorry. Okay. Okay, so verse 1. You guys there? I heard the papers flipping and bada bing, bada boom. So we'll go ahead and start. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert and tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, what did he say? It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Then the devil took him to the holy city, that's in Jerusalem, and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourselves down, for it is written. Oh, so he's trying to use for it is written now. And then he misquotes it. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike a foot against a stone. Then Jesus answered him. I don't wonder why he didn't correct him, say, that's not what it says, right? So that was pretty good, huh? Okay. But it says, it is also written, do not put the word of God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. So probably not the scripture that you thought I was going to use to figure out how to hear God's voice, right? It's like, hey, this is about temptation. But it's interesting to see here how God shows us different things in different passages. Sometimes we look at a scripture and our mind goes, oh, it's the temptation of Jesus. So it's going to be about sinning and all that stuff, right? But in reality, this right here is a template that God gives us a how to hear God's voice. It's a template that he gave us going, you know what? I'm going to experience amazing temptation that you've never have experienced. But this is how I prepared. How cool is that he shows us that? So before we continue, I coach a baseball team in Albany, and we have students that come onto our team from different places, and we have to see what their talents are, see if they know the fundamentals of baseball, see where their strengths are, see where their weaknesses are, talk to them about what they need to learn. So we go through days upon days, weeks upon weeks of just practicing these little things, catching, throwing, batting, fielding, whatever that may be, offense, defense, running the bases, all with the hopes that they would get better in what? Playing baseball. So just like the word, for them to become good players, they have to put in some equity, don't they? They have to work up a sweat. They have to spend time. And through that time, we get to build a relationship with these students, with these players. We get to hear about their stories. We get to hear about what they're going through, their school. But also, we get to invest in them. We get to mentor them. We get to speak them up. We get to give them encouragement. There was a student that even said, you know what? I don't even hear my parents tell me that they're proud of me. Ugh. That's messed up. But yet we have that opportunity. We have that opportunity with these students. So as we go through there, it's with the hopes that maybe one day, Kristen knows this, our team sucked. Okay, so it was a hope of play these games so that way we could have a competitive game. Well, it happened to come that this one day, maybe 2 days, ahead of the whole season, we actually played a close game. And it was awesome. Parents were into it. There was yelling, screaming, cheering. All the parents are rooting for their team, for their players. And it was just a great environment. And I was in it. I was like, all right, you know, this is cool. And we're coaching it up. And our students are out in the field. And the batter hits a shot to center field. And the center fielder runs up, catches it, or actually gets it off the ground. And there's a runner on second from the other team, and they start running, right? So we're telling them, hit the cutoff man. That's the player in the infield where you relay it to home base, right? So we're telling them, hit the cutoff man. So he throws it to the cutoff man. The cutoff man gets it. We're telling them, go home. The runner's going around home. They throw it home. It comes. They get the ball. They tag the runner out. Everybody goes wild. Yeah! And the crowd just erupts, right? You should have seen these students. They were stoked. They were so happy about what they just did. They ran in. Our coaches go out there. We're giving them high fives. We're going, well done. You guys did amazing. This is what we've been practicing for. And one of the students goes, we heard you yelling at us, telling us what to do. I was like, cool. But how did they hear us over all that noise? Have you guys ever been to a baseball game? Parents get into it. All right, they know how to scream for the students and at the coaches, right? They get loud. But I thought it was so cool when we asked the question, how did you hear our voice? How did they hear our voice? They're used to it. They recognized it because we spent so much time together. They understood our voices. They could hear it. As the Lord says, it's like the sheep hearing their shepherd. They recognize their voice. And it's the same thing with us and God. Just these students had to spend time with their coaches to understand who they were or understand their voices, to distinguish their voices. It's the same thing goes with us. Discerning the voices of God is training ourselves to recognize that still soft voice, to recognize that moving of the Holy Spirit within us. You see, before Jesus even went to this place right here for his battle, his ultimate battle, he had to prepare himself. He had to go to his solitary place. Isn't that cool? So Jesus, he lived in Nazareth, between 30 and 50 miles from Galilee. The Bible doesn't give us much information about Jesus the early years, right? I think we have a map right there. So Nazareth would be right about there. If you guys could see my finger, Galilee is right there. So if you guys are right there, you guys could see it, but you guys are just gonna have to figure it out. So anyways, so that's where Jesus lived. That's where he grew up, in Galilee. And the area was growing throughout the years, because in that area was the agriculture was amazing. It rejected no plant. The air just welcomed any kind of vegetation in the area. And even when you go today, it's amazing what you see. Well, not right now, but when we went, the area was just so green. It was so fertile. And we're like, oh, I didn't know this grew here. But yet, there's so much that grows there. In that time, there was also a lot of religions. One of them was Judaism. That was the study of the law of Moses. That's what the people back then, if you were Jewish, that's what you would study, was the first five books of the Bible. Then there was Hellenism. They're the ones that took the Greek mythology and they brought it over to the area and all their gods and all that stuff, but they're going, you know what, we don't want to, you know, do the same thing they were doing, so we're going to change the names of these gods, maybe add a couple more and call it our own. Because that's how they worked, right? I mean, how many gods are there? Jeez. Right? So then, there you go, yeah. Then the Romans, see, I was hearing it in my own voice. Then the Romans, they also worship the Greek gods. They also follow those customs. But they also believed if they were powerful enough, influential enough, maybe one day they too can become a deity. Sounds like a lot of people nowadays, right? Maybe I shouldn't go there. And then the last group was just a whole bunch of people in the area that came together, and they brought their own, their other gods, their own customs. It was the mom and pop shops that came up and saying, hey, look, there's a cup right here. You guys want to worship it? Yeah, that looks cool. It's like, you know, it's the cup's half empty, or is it half full? I don't know, right? But they had an abundance of gods in that area. They had an abundance of gods. So if Jesus would have gone over there to buy or to trade or whatever that might have been, that he would have been walking through these places and hearing all the noise. He would have been able to see and hear what they were doing. He would have been able to see how the devil was messing up what God had created. He would have seen and heard how the devil, through all these false gods, they were leading people away from the true word of God. Can you imagine Jesus walking through this area, seeing these things, and realizing how his heart was? Probably broken. Going, why are our people, my people, living this way? Why have they turned their backs to God? And I believe it's during that time is when he started to see what the enemy was doing. Kind of like what Pastor Scott was talking about last week about the identity. He was starting to see the identity of the people of God that carried his word, that understood who he was, starting to be stripped. He was starting to mess up with their identity of who they were inside and replacing it with something different. When he walking through that, he would have seen these people worshiping gods in different ways. He would have heard the lies, like I said. He would have seen temple prostitution. He would have seen greed, hypocrisy, the false teaching. He would have seen all these things of worship going on. It's crazy to think that, to looking back at that time of, this is what Jesus would have been around, right? As a teenager, Jesus would have grown up studying the law of Moses. It probably would have been through Joseph. It would have probably been through somebody else who mentored him, studying the five books of the Bible. He would have read it. He would have memorized it. He would have shared it with his friends, his family. He probably would have had theological discussions with John the Baptist. Tell me how cool that would have been. It's like, hey, John, no, that's not how it is. You know, maybe you guys should watch The Chosen or whatever, and then you get to see that interaction, or at least what they say. But it's amazing how much God was preparing from a very young age, because he knew what was ahead. He knew what was going to happen. And it's cool is in, I totally lost my place, but, oh, yeah, that's what it is. So as I do this. So if you want to turn with me to Luke 2, and then I'll go into this. But the discussions, on one occasion, it talks about Jesus' family. That's Luke 2. Talks about Jesus' family going to Jerusalem for the Passover. They go down there for a week, partying it up. They're having their good time. Then it's time to return home. Mary and Joseph gets with their clan. They start going back. They get home, and guess what? They realize they left Jesus. Isn't that messed up? Talking about a home alone moment. Jesus! Oh, sorry. Jesus! Right? How embarrassing would that have been? Once they realize that, they're going, we left Jesus back in Jerusalem. So then they had to get the camels, get it back on, and take off. Can you imagine how quiet of a ride that was? And granted, that was a couple of days' journey. They probably didn't even talk. It's like, yeah, remember that one time, don't talk to me. But then arriving back in Jerusalem, they're looking around. They're searching for Jesus. And eventually, they find him at the temple. So in Luke 2, 46 through 52, it says, after 3 days, they found him at the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why are you treating us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Jesus replied, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Verse 51. Then he went to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. So even Jesus was obedient. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. 52 is awesome. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. So about this time, Jesus would have been about 12 years old. So he probably would have already been studying the word and whatnot since he was 9. So even at 12 years old, he goes to the temple and he starts asking questions. He starts pushing the priests, pushing the teachers about what they know, and he starts sharing, and people are in awe. Nowadays, we would call that a prodigy. See, Jesus was a prodigy. And he's teaching people that were way older than him about things of God that they didn't even see. That would have been so cool to watch. But the reason that was happening is because Jesus was preparing for his battle. Jesus was preparing years before he even saw the devil. Sometimes we read our scripture and we go, oh, okay, birth of Jesus. Oh, temptation. No, this was a lifelong thing. This is something that he was preparing. This was something that he was setting up the foundations into his heart and his faith. So again, hearing the voice of God, it takes time. It takes a relationship. So how do we prepare to hear God's voice? Well, according to Jesus, if you turn back to me to Matthew 4, is finding a quiet place. Jesus was led into the desert. This is the Judean desert. It's dry. It's hot. It's miserable, right? Hopefully you do not pick the Judean desert as your quiet place. But this is where Jesus did. He's like, you know what? My quiet place is going to be where I'm going to be meeting with the devil. I'm claiming this ground. This is my area. This is my domain. And the devil's not going to take it away. Ooh, that should be a song. Right? So, but it was hot. And that quiet place is where he was able to get away by himself, setting away distractions, getting above the noise that he had heard sometime earlier of all the things that he was seeing. It was submitting to the Lord. That quiet place is where we go and we just lay down at the altar and go, God, here I am. That's your quiet place. That's where you disconnect from the world. That's your consistent meeting place. Now, that might look different for everybody. So my quiet place at one time was in my man cave. Actually, it's just a room. At home, where I would read my Bible, where I would just meditate. But lately, since I'm working in Sweet Home, it's been my car as I drive. It's been listening to worship music, maybe a message. Maybe it's driving in the quiet. You know how earlier we kind of just like lingered around and it was really quiet? How many of you guys were uncomfortable? It's like, what do I do now? We take out our phones. That's what we do nowadays. When it gets really quiet, we get antsy. But that's what the quiet place is about. It's about us seeking and pushing in to finding God. Maybe your quiet place is a garage. Maybe it's a patio. Probably not right now because it's really cold and windy out there. I don't know. But in the summer, I know Chris has got an awesome back. Kristen's got. We have an awesome patio in the back where we get to go in the mornings and just meditate there. It's awesome. So what's your quiet place? Where is it that you go to hear God's voice, to spend time with God? Maybe it's on a massage chair. Maybe it's in a den or in a workshop. Maybe it's in your car like me. But where is that? And my second question is, how often do you visit it? Is it only when you need something? Is it only when you're going through troubles? See, I heard this one pastor say, very rarely do people continue to worship at the mountaintop. It's in the valleys that they draw closer to God. Think about that. When things are going good and we're on the mountaintop, it's like, ah, thank you, Lord. I don't need you right now. It's cool. But yet something happens, it's like, oh, Lord, please help me. Where's my quiet place? I forgot where it's at. Is it here? Is it there? I don't know. The second one is spending time in prayer. Quiet place, prayer, same thing? No, not really. Quiet place is just to get away. Your prayer is where Jesus fasted. Prayer is where you start speaking to the Lord. You start coming, you start crying to him. You start submitting yourself. You're laying on the ground going, Lord, I want to hear your voice. You start pressing in. You start seeking direction. You start seeking answers. You start digging in. Oh, excuse me. And having a conversation. And that's where the Holy Spirit, the counselor that God gives us, gets activated. It's through prayer. It's seeking God's heart through the Holy Spirit that's working inside of you. See, the Holy Spirit is that conduit between you and God. And sometimes we allow that conduit to get severed. And it's always working. It's always working and spending that time in prayer. So in our prayers, where we get our understanding. Through our prayers, where we get that direction. Through prayers, where we get to start hearing what God wants from us. And the Holy Spirit starts showing us. Pro tip is when you're praying, take a piece of paper, a pen, or whatever, and that way you can write down anything that comes to your mind, because guess what the devil's going to do? Oh, man, I can't forget this. Oh, I can't forget. Oh, I need to do this. And we start getting distracted in our prayer. So take that piece of paper. Take that pen. Write it down. You don't have to worry about it no more. So that's my pro tip for you guys. Should I call it pro tip? But God wants you to keep pressing in. In Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8, it says, ask, seek, and knock, and the door will be open to you. The acronyms for that is ask. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask. Come to me. Let's have a conversation. I want to spend time with you. I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear what you're going through. But we're only going to have that if you come and knock. And the cool thing about it is God always has an open door policy. He's not going to shut the door on you. We may shut the doors on each other, but God's going, you know what, come on in. What, you got an issue? Let's talk. But again, it's spending time through the word. So what are you praying for? Is it your marriage, family, kids, job? You know, is it finances, health? Is it the church, government, wherever that may be? What are you asking for? Are you believing in that? Are you spending time in that? Are you spending time praying to God in a daily basis? That's why I love going to work. Weird enough, right? Because I get to spend time with God. It's my alone place. And nowadays, it doesn't matter if people see you talking to yourself, because I could say, oh, it's my earpiece. Right? So it's not strange anymore. We're driving by somebody, seeing them talk, and they're going, oh, all right, they're on their phone. No, I'm with the Holy Spirit right here. That's pretty cool. The other one, excuse me, it's been a while since I've spoken, so now my voice is, excuse me, I apologize. It's studying the Word of God. It's so cool. Three times, Jesus here in the verse, it says, it is written. It is written. It is written. Now, Jesus could have said, well, my dad said, or my mentor told me, or I heard about it. No, Jesus goes to the Word and says, it is written. There's no mistaking what's been written. It's there. I've read it for myself. I've studied it. I've prayed over it. I've dug into it. I've examined it. And this is what the Word says. And if you were at the men's breakfast yesterday, you would have heard Pastor Scott. Man, Pastor Scott's just a very wise man. It's like I'm quoting him a lot. So, but he was talking about that yesterday, how to endure, how to press into God, how to really get into the Word. Because the Word, as Jesus says, we don't live on bread alone, right? But on every word of God. So sometimes we eat a lot, but maybe our spirits, our Holy Spirit inside, the Spirit inside, maybe it's malnutrition. Maybe it needs to be fed. Maybe it needs a little jolt. So how many of us are spending our time in prayer? You know, we trust in so many other people to relay the Word to us, to read it for us. But do we ever follow up on what it says? Do we ever follow up and say, okay, is that true? Is it not? Because it comes down to you. That relationship is not about me, you, and God. No. That's about you and God. You need to know what the Word says. You need to dig into it. And the cool thing about it is, as we read the Word, the Holy Spirit that God gives us, have you ever read a verse and it just jumps out at you? And you're going, oh, I needed that. That's the Holy Spirit, right? It's like he gets this highlighter, and you read something, and it's like, oh, that's weird. And you read it again, it's like, yeah, that's totally what I'm looking for. And with that, it's like the Holy Spirit highlights it, the words jump out, and it causes you to stop and starting to ponder, what does that really mean for me? What is that saying to me? Pro tip number two. Sometimes when God shows you something, it might be to convict you. Ouch. But Jesus is love. Well, he's also a judge. Right? And sometimes we try to get away with this. And when we read the Word, it's to keep us on track. When we read the Word, it's for God saying, okay, you know what? You're going astray a little bit. You need to come back onto the narrow road, not the wide road. Okay? So pro tip number two. Sometimes God convicts, and that's okay. Because that's what we want. And that shows his true love for you, is that he wants you to live that righteous life, that godly life. Not that we have to be perfect, but that we can walk in line to what he's saying and what he's doing. Amen? He like what? Amen, yeah. Okay, next point. So the next point is, I read this this article, and it was enlightening, not really, kind of saw it coming, sad kind of thing. But in 2022, the American Bible Society surveyed 35,000 people, adults in America. And it showed 35% of people read their Bible at least once a week. Get that? 35%. 45% of people don't even read their Bibles at all. And that number even goes lower for those who actually read it more than twice a week. It's like 10%. Isn't that crazy? is that 35% of people at least read it once a week. 45% of people don't read their Bibles at all. And guess what? That number is only going to go higher because our youth aren't even reading it. And then we start wondering, what's going on with our world? Why is there no peace? Why is it there love? Why is there so much hate? Why is there so much fighting? It's because there's no peace. Nobody's reading the Word. We've neglected it. We've allowed ourselves to, again, listen to the voices around us. But yet, that's what the enemy does, doesn't he? He's going, sweet, ka-chow. All right, 35%. You know, I can live with those thoughts. How about you, little demons? Yay! Right? That was just crazy. So if the devil were to appear today and challenge us, would we be able to stand there and say, it is written? That's a challenge. You can only answer that yourself. Would you be able to say, to hear a lie from the enemy say, it is written? Or would you go, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, well, I'm going to have to put that on my phone. That'd be a good quote to put on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. And we start quoting things. Here's another scary thing. Again, our wise pastor yesterday talked a little bit about it with AI. But with AI, did you know that they're already talking about maybe using AI to make our Bible a little bit more politically correct? To make it more gender neutral? You know, it's a thought. It hasn't happened yet, but they're talking about it. Even PETA is wanting to rewrite the Bible to take away all the animal sacrifices, right? I don't know how that would work. I don't know what AI would come up with or whatever, but isn't that crazy? So just imagine our youth in about 15, 20 years start reading the Bible and going, what sacrifices are you talking about? There's no animals here. Why did they call Jesus the lamb? That's weird, right? Or we start reading other things and we start replacing the truth that we have in the Word with whatever the society is trying to get us to buy into. This is heavy, but you know what? It's necessary. So the question is, what percentage do you fall under? Are you part of the 35, 45, or the 10 that read it more than once? And how can you... And are you able to discern the voice of God? The other one is, surround yourself with godly friends. Angels came and attended him. So as we said, God uses prayer. God uses his Word. But guess what? He also uses those around us. Every single one of us is going to be able to hear God in different ways. It might be through scripture, it might be praying, it might be a vision, it might be a prophetic word, it might be talking to somebody, it might be a stranger just in passing talking about something that you've been praying for and you're going, oh, shoot, that's a confirmation, right, after you start talking to them. Now, the one thing that I would say is you got to make sure that whoever's speaking into your life is somebody who's mature in the Lord. Because we don't want is somebody who is part of the world trying to speak into us, telling us what to do. Because guess what they're going to do? Is their views, is their ideas, is where they want to go, or what their ideologies are, or whatever. Right? So you got to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with godly people, mature people. That's why coming to church is so important. We might be down. We could ask a brother or sister to pray. We might be feeling isolated. We could find community in the women's program, in the men's breakfast, or coming to church just to be seen. That's why that's so important. And that's why it's important for people in La La Land out there that are watching it online. Come on in. Don't be afraid. We're cool people. But it's stepping out and allowing God to use others so that he can speak to you. It might be authors. It might be through music. It might be counselors, whatever that may be, is just make sure that these are people that you can trust, people that are mature, and people who are telling you and willing to tell you the truth. The last one is being obedient. Jesus was led by the Spirit. See, when we get our answer, sometimes we'll freeze. When we get our answer, sometimes we'll start to doubt. We allow that fear, that self-talk, that uncertainty going, I don't know, did I really hear from God or not? Well, I tell you what, if you put in the work with God, if you put in the time, if you put in studying, you're going to know. You're going to have that peace. You're going to be able to discern that voice which is God's or the voice which is the world. And it's an awesome peace that you get. When you hear God's voice and you're able to put it against the word, it's life-giving. It makes you feel good. If you ever receive something, you're going, oh man, that sucks. That's probably not of God, right? Unless you don't want to go on a mission trip or something, but you know, you have to figure that out, right? But it's spending that time with God and being obedient to move, being obedient to take that next step of faith. Being obedient to go, all right, Lord, I got my orders, and this is what I'm going to do. Jesus did it twice, to confront the devil and then eventually die on the cross. I'm sure he struggled, but he was obedient because he knew what he wanted to do. In 2 John 1:6, it says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. That we walk in obedience to his commands. So, we probably didn't learn anything new or anything, wow, man, that just blew my mind. But maybe what we did do, kind of like our players in baseball, we went back to the fundamentals. Because sometimes we have to start in the fundamentals. Sometimes we have to be reminded going, okay, you know what? I've kind of screwed up. We have to get back on track. I need to start spending more time. I need to not trust so much on other voices and make sure that I'm focused to the one that matters. Because there's nothing new under the sun. There's so many messages that out there that says, oh, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, blah, blah, blah. But the reality, this right here, this is your foundation. These are the basics right here. And I know I had to listen to them. I know I had to use them. And maybe that's for you too. You know, one last story is a few years ago, I was a program coordinator for Men's Teen Challenge in Spokane. And loved our place there, loved the guys. It was 50 men, about 20-some-odd staff members, and we were leading them. They were doing great things, and we loved it. It was in Spokane. We had a house. Our kids were going to school, and I told my wife, I told Chris, and I was like, you know what? I really feel comfortable here. Don't ever say that, okay? Because God's going to go, oh, really, huh? Huh, let's talk about this, right? So no joke, not exaggerating. About a week later, I get a call from our CEO for the Pacific Northwest. He says, hey, Rich, would you be interested in moving to Oregon and be the Teen Challenge Ministry Institute Director? It's like, no, not really. We talked about it. Like, you know, it'd be a promotion, but I'm not sure because I'm comfortable, right? So he's like, hey, why don't you just come out and you can check it out. You can see the sites. We've never been here before. We got here, and it smelled divine. That's when they had the paper mill out there in Albany. It was so gross. I was like, I don't want to move here. That, geez. So we checked out the area, and at the time, there was, I didn't have this in my notes, but there was Serve Inc., I think it was, for Albany, and they had a big concert, and I think Skillet was there. I was like, oh, that's awesome. And all these churches came together, and we're like, man, that's a community that I can really get involved in. Somebody who does things for the community together as a church. It's not individual, but people just coming together. So we got to see all that. We got to go to the center here in Lebanon. It's right across the street from the Gestapo and the library up there in the corner. Again, got to meet the people there, the staff. Got to meet some of the partners there that were helping out with Teen Challenge. And we're like, okay. So we prayed. We had dinner. And the next day, we both get in the car, we start driving back, and it was like, so we're moving, huh?
Yeah.
And to be honest, I didn't want to. I didn't want to move to Oregon. I loved Spokane. But seeing it is, we had to be obedient. And like they say, the rest of is history. We've had an amazing time here. We've fallen in love with Oregon. The state, the other stuff, not so much. But at least the area is just beautiful. People are nice, and I like what's going on, and we've learned to fall in love with this area. But we had to take, once we got our answer, was taking that step of faith. We had to say, yes, Lord. And we had to sell our house, or try to at least. We had to move our kids and get into our schools and whatnot and jobs and figure this out and that out. But guess what? God just blessed us. And he continues to bless us because we feel like we're trying our best. We don't do it. We don't hit the mark every time. But it's spending time with God that we just want to please him. And that's where I want to leave it off with that. Is living by faith is learning to hear God's voice. Is learning to hear God's voice through time. Is being intentional of spending time with God. It doesn't happen overnight. It cracks me up when people say, I pray, but God hasn't talked to me. Oh, really? Do you spend a lot of time with God? No. Well, that's probably why he's not talking to you. Because you're not spending time with him. How are you going to hear his voice? Even if he was listening or talking to you, are you able to distinguish, to examine, to learn what he's saying? It's only through that relationship. It's only through that relationship. And as we already learned with Jesus, by spending time with the Father in heaven, we can know his voice, gain wisdom, strength, and have favor with God and men. Right on? Okay, let's pray, and then we'll have Kristen do us, I guess you're doing a song. You're going to do your thing, and I'm going to pray. Okay, so, Lord Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. I thank you, Lord God, for this message that you've placed on my heart. I thank you for the opportunity to share this. I ask that this will challenge all of us here, myself included, that we can spend time with you, that we can press in, that we could get above the noise to hear your voice, Lord God. Father, Lord, I pray that we don't give in to the voices that are going on around us, that we can learn to distinguish, examine what you're telling us, and that ultimately that we could be obedient to them. Lord, you are a good God. You're an awesome God. And we thank you and we praise you for what you're doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.